All right, well, welcome back. And thank you for being on time. That's awesome. All right, so before the break, in the last session, we laid a platform of what social emotional intelligence is and why it is important and what it is, so that we can now get in and start building some of the competencies. So can I have a show of hands? Who actually thought that they could do a little bit better with their personal power? Who ticked that as one of the things that they... Yeah. Have a look around, team. Put your hands back up again for me. Yeah. Like most people in the room. And it's my experience, as I said, that this is an area that most people could do better in. And it is the area which I believe is the platform that we need to be able to build the other competencies. You know, so what we're going to do is we're going to have a look at how to develop personal power. So that when we look in the mirror, we see the lion when we need to see the lion, but we also see the pussycat when we need to see the pussycat. That we're able to be who it is that we need to be at any given time. So let me ask you a question. Put your hand up in the room if you are a business owner. Okay, hands down. If you're not a business owner, can you tell me, so you're a trade coordinator? A center manager. Okay. It was a trick question, but let me challenge you on that to start with. See, personal power comes out of our own identity. And what we're going to do is we're going to build our identity here this afternoon. We're going to build it up a little bit. We're going to take some time for us, which may be unfamiliar to some of you, just to do that and to be selfish and to just focus on you. But I want to challenge you that you are not a business owner or the other things that were said. You are a person. And running a business or working in a business or whatever you're doing is something that you do. And one of the challenges in our identity is when we relate that to what we do. So if we say, you know, if I was to say, I am a speaker, I am a trainer. No, I'm a person who speaks and trains. Because it's who do we need to be at any given time that's important, not what we do or not do. So as we're going through this afternoon, I want you to think about you rather than your role in business or job or anything like this. I want you to give yourself the next 73 and a half minutes to focus on you. And to have as many breakthroughs as you can. And remember, you know, a couple of things. It's later in the afternoon than it was when I first started, right? So there's a possibility that our energy level's not where it could be. So at any time during this, if you need to get up and have a stretch, just do that. Because I want you to be able to keep yourself in a state where you can get the maximum out of this. The second thing is to remind you that I have the ability to be able to help you to overcome those barriers that may be there in your mindset, in your thinking, that will stop you from getting the most out of today. And the third thing is to remember that if you anything gets uncovered here in this session, that grant@grantherbert.com is my email address. I'm happy for you over the next 7 days. Just flick me an email and go, hey, this is what it's brought up for me. Can you point me in the right direction of some resources or what have you? So remember before the break, I talked about me and I talked about, you know, my story and part of my story, and that is only part of my story, of where I was and where my level of self-worth and self-belief was. And it started with my thinking and the belief that I had formed around that incident with my mother, and that was just one of the issues. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to think, before we even get into this, are there any beliefs that you have about yourself right now that are attributing to your lack of self-worth, your lack of self-esteem? What is it that you're choosing to believe about yourself on a daily basis that's not empowering you? And when you find that, why are you doing that? And that's the key before we even get into the content of what I'm going to do today. So I want you to have a think about that right now. What is it that you could change to? Remember the process I gave you? Recognize, reject. So let's recognize any beliefs that you've formed about incidents, about experiences, and about you that have formed your identity of who you think you are. And over the course of the next little while, you're going to have the opportunity to be able to leave those behind, to be able to change that neural pathway by rejecting those beliefs and replacing them with a more empowering belief, one that's going to help you to step up in your own self-worth and your own self-esteem. Now, right now, you could be thinking, well, that's the last thing that I want to do. Because as we said, the reason why we have these beliefs is it's keeping us safe from something. So you could have an internal thing going on for you right now that's saying, no, whatever he says, I'm not doing it. So we need to fight that, and I'm going to help you to do that as we go through as well. Is that cool? Who's ready to go? Bring it? Should I bring it? Okay. I'll bring my best, and you're going to bring yours as well. Is that a deal? Fantastic. Let's get stuck into it. All right. So personal power will give you a calm inner conviction about who you are and your ability to get what you want and need out of life. A calm inner conviction, a voice within you that's more empowering than the one that you've got perhaps right now. Who'd like that, by the way? Who would like to have more of a voice that encouraged you and empowered you than the one that keeps you safe and holds you back? Yeah? See, there's three fears, three universal fears that operate in each and every one of us. And I'm talking about internal fears. I'm not talking about, you know, the fear of heights or the fear of spiders or those type of fears. There's three internal fears. And you might want to write these down. The first one is the fear of not being enough. And some might add the word good so that they can understand that more closely to what they know. But the fear of not being enough. The second one is the fear of not belonging. We all want to belong to something. The reason, you know, part of the reason why we join awesome organizations like this is so that we can belong to something. And the third one, and I believe, in my own opinion, the most important, is the fear of not being loved. See, from the time we are born, we are seeking to be loved. My personal belief, and I can only give you my beliefs, is that we are separate to the animal kingdom as human beings. And when we're born, when a baby suckles to its mother's breast, and see, I shouldn't talk about babies because I immediately just flooded back to the fact that I just had a brand new grandson born today. But when a baby suckles to his or her mother's breast, there's a release of that first milk, which has got the antibodies in it and all that sort of stuff, but there's a release of a chemical called oxytocin. And oxytocin is commonly known as the cuddle hormone. So it's the hormone that makes you feel good. All right? By the way, if at all throughout this afternoon, you feel like you need a bit of that oxytocin, just give the person next to you a hug. Have a big cuddle, big hug, you'll be okay. But the sad thing is that if a baby doesn't get that, in extreme cases, babies have been known to not thrive at all and not survive. So from the time we are born, we are seeking that connection, we are seeking that love and affection from others. And if we fear in any way that that's in jeopardy, or we fear that we may not belong, or we fear that we're not good enough, then we'll act to keep safe and we'll act to protect those things. So as we're going through this stuff today and beyond today, anytime you're feeling a bit of that internal uncertainty going on, stop and recognize which one or ones of those fears are acting out in you at that time. All right, so we're going to have a look at the problems of a lack of personal power. We're going to look at what we can do about that and the results that you can expect instead. We're going to look at Personal Power 101 and see what it is. And once again, I'm going to lay a platform of principles that will help you to assimilate and implement the learnings. And then we're going to get stuck into it. We're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to actually start doing some exercises today. And I've brought a number of them there. So we will not, you know, perhaps get all those done today, but there's more that you can do beyond here. But I want to help you today to help yourself to start increasing your level of personal power. And then we're going to look at what you need to do after that. What's next beyond here for you? All right, so here are some of the problems. The first one is we're addicted to approval. You know, who would say, and we're going to be as open and vulnerable and honest as we can this afternoon, who would say that sometimes they feel like they're a bit of a people pleaser? They're addicted to the approval of other people. Yeah. So every single one of us perform. Right now, I'm up here performing. I'm giving you a performance based on what I know and what I do. Right? And that's okay. The challenge is the motive for which we perform. It's not the performance itself. And a lot of times, we perform for unresourceful motives, and one in particular is we perform to get approval. So we perform in a way that people will give us approval. We'll belong. We'll be good enough for them and they'll love us. But who's done their best job ever, any time in their life, and there's been at least one person that hasn't approved of it wasn't good enough? Can I see your hand? Yeah. And the problem is we don't always get the approval of others. And when we either get or not get that approval, we either erode or build up our identity. So we perform to get approval, but as we've said, sometimes we get the approval, but more than not, we don't. And as I said, the motive of the performance is the problem that we get addicted to here. So we're addicted to people going, yeah, that's fantastic, you're good enough, et cetera, et cetera. And most of the times when they even give us that, we don't believe it anyway. You know, is anyone here a little bit like I used to be, where people would give me a compliment and I would do my best to bring that back down to what, yeah. You know, please don't give me compliments, because what that's doing is it's actually speaking totally against what I truly believe about myself. So it whacks up against that, so we want to push it back. We go, no. And we deflect it and all that sort of stuff. Right? Remember I said no side-on shots, okay? You can? Cool. See, I'm a subject matter expert. I'm a work in progress. I still don't like the side-on shots. So here's the problem with it. A performance is something that I do. Or you do. But my identity is about who I am. All right, have we got any parents in the room here? Who of those parents, and Megan, I'm with you, like docs are okay with this, who's ever yelled at their child? Can I see your hand? All right, hands down. And when you've yelled at your child, who in the room 14 seconds later has had this horrible feeling in the pit of their stomach and they felt really, really bad about themselves and about doing that? Can I see your hand? Yeah, the same people. And my kids say that I say 14 seconds for everything. So you've still got your hand up. It's that bad, right? Now, let me use this as an example to show you what I'm talking about here. So I have, as I said, I have an outstanding wife and five amazing kids. I got, you know, 30-year, I know what you're thinking. I started when I was 12. 30-year-old, 28-year-old, 26-year-old, and 13-year-old twins. And two grandchildren. And I've got Isaac and I've got Tegan, boy and a girl twin. And they are so much like Paula and my mini-me, in terms of Tegan is just like mum and Isaac's just like me. So, of a morning, I'm a morning person. I had a question asked about adrenal fatigue, actually, and part of the adrenal fatigue, you know, me getting cured and healed from that is getting my sleep hygiene right. And can I just get you to move your iPad just to the side or over? Oh, that is fantastic. Thank you. I can now see you. That's all right. Part of that's getting your sleep right again. But I'm a morning person. So I go to bed at the same time every night, and I'm up between 5, 5.15 every day. And I'm up, I'm into it. Paula is a night owl, and it's not her greatest strength to do morning, like early morning. Isaac's pretty much the same. He gets up nice and early. Tegan, not so much. Now, remember this in the context of the performance here. So of a morning, I need to be the motivator. I need to be the person that inspires action so that it happens. And we work well. Paula and I communicate well. She's got strength, I've got strength, and one of mine is to get people going of a morning. So, you know, we're getting breakfast, we're doing all those sort of things, getting ready for school and whatever, and then about 20 to 8, Isaac's ready, and we need to leave before 8 to beat the traffic to get to the school and all that sort of stuff. Isaac's ready, fully dressed, done his chores, got his bag packed, got his lunch, and he's there waiting for Tegan. And I don't take the kids to school anymore, but when I did, I would be needing to go to a client straight after that or whatever. Right? So I'm worried about what might happen if I'm late, and I don't like to be late and what have you, because I'm performing for others. So every now and then, Tegan will get to the point of, you know, her dancing around in front of her mirror and not being ready, and it's like 10 to 8, would get to me a little bit. And I'd go, Tegan! Please hurry up. And then 14 seconds later, I've got this feeling in the pit of my stomach. That's it, like you do now. Yeah, it woke you up there, didn't it? That says, look, poor sound guy just fell off his chair. This pit in my stomach that says, why did you do that? You don't want to yell at your child. You love your child. Why would you yell at your child? So what am I doing? I beat myself up. And then I'd nurse and rehearse that all through the day. And this is what happens. So you remember I said a performance is something that I do. So yeah, I'm the emotional intelligence expert. Am I supposed to have an emotional hijack, an amygdala hijack? No, I'm not. I'm supposed to be perfect at that. No. However, I know what I should be doing. But in that moment of me thinking about others that I'm letting down by allowing, by Tegan being late and what have you, those sort of things are in my amygdala and they're ruling what's going on. So the reaction is me yelling. So if I look at that and I go, Grant, why did you do that? Come on, you know better than that. Let's not do it. When Tegan was a little bit, actually not that much younger, she'd come out and she'd go, Daddy, I don't like it when you yell at me. And I'd feel even worse. Now I could logically go, well, sweetheart, you have control over that. So if you get ready early, like Isaac, I do that. Yeah, is that going to work? No. So that's what I do. So if I go, okay, all right, you did it again, Grant. Let's do better next time, etc., etc. However, if I nurse and rehearse that through the day, it goes from I yelled at my child to I am a bad father. But here's the thing. I then go, but it's okay, I'll do better next time. No, I won't, because what we've done now is I've eroded the platform from which I'm going to do better. So my behaviour from there on in is based on a lower self-worth than the one I started with. So here's the answer right here and now. Yeah, it's okay to recognise that behaviour needs to be changed, or it's not appropriate, or whatever. And to look at the behaviour and change the behaviour. But to make a belief that's I'm an amazing father. If you ask my children, they would tell you that. And I'm confident enough to say, I am a very, very good father. But I'm not perfect, and I never will be. So why me having a belief that I am a bad father is not a good belief, because it's a lie. So I go to try and do better, but from a lower level of self-worth. Why should I even try to do better as a father? Like, woe is me. Notice where I am. I'm way down in effect here. I'm having that pity party again. But here's the thing. This is worth 2 days just getting this, what you're going to get right now. Changed my life and lots of people's lives around me. So instead of performing to get approval, what we want to do is we want to get to a position of self-approval. We're going to approve of ourselves first. The only thing in business, if we're talking about business, that I think we should never delegate, well, two things. One is responsibility, and the second one, and more importantly, is self-approval, is approval. We don't delegate that to others. That's something that has to come from us. So instead of performing to gain approval, which will erode our identity, what we need to do is build our identity. We're going to do this today. And instead of performing to get approval, we perform from a position of self-approval. Far more powerful. And as I said, changed my life and the life of many people who I've been able to share that with. Now, I know that right now in this room, there are people that are relating to that, whatever your story is and whatever story that you're putting in there. And I know that there are times when you do things, you do them for the wrong reason. And I know sometimes you do things and you feel bad about it and you allow that to erode your identity. Here's the good thing about that. We're that clever, we're that smart, we're created so well that we're able to run that exactly same pattern but just do it in reverse. So if you can do it that way, you can also do it the other way. So the key here to building our personal power is to get rid of this approval addiction. You know, was it Eleanor Roosevelt, I think, that said, what other people think of you is none of your business. Now, I don't mean from an arrogant point of view, where I go, I don't care what anyone thinks, I'll just do whatever I want. No, still remain teachable, but I love people to connect with me and like me and whatever. And I also love to do well. And I'm doing my best this afternoon to give you what I've got. Now, if you don't, you know, if you like me for that and whatever, that's a bonus. However, if you don't, I'd take your feedback, but I won't allow it to have anything to do with how I feel about myself. I'll change what I can change, and that's the key. So addiction to approval, we've got to get rid of that. Who feels like, again, sometimes that they are a bit addicted to approval, they want people to approve of them? Yeah, cool. Excellent. So that's the first problem. And I took a bit of time on that because that's the key right there. The second thing is a limited self-confidence. Because of that, because of the way that we language failure, do you notice I didn't say because of the amount of times we fail? Because of the way that we language failure, like, who's done something and it didn't work in life or in business, part of the, anywhere? Yeah, it's going to happen. But it's how we language that failure and how we let that failure attach itself to our identity that's important. So self-confidence, confidence within yourself rather than just everyone external, that you're good enough and that your opinion matters more than anyone else. The third thing is we're unable sometimes to set boundaries. And it's all through this pattern here. We say yes to things we should say no to, and we say no to things that we should say yes to. So the more times that we can say yes when it's appropriate and no when it's appropriate to suit us and what our priorities are, we can overcome this unable to set boundaries. And sometimes that can leave us feeling powerless and overwhelmed. You know, overwhelm is one of the words that gets used a lot now. I just feel overwhelmed. So that's beyond, I don't have enough time. That's, I'm overwhelmed. And we feel powerless sometimes. And I know that there are times when we don't like ourselves very much and we don't feel at all like we're ever going to be able to get out of this. And it's very popular now in its terminology, but it's been around forever. We end up in a state of depression. We end up in a state of where our mental health is not where it needs to be for us to continue and operate as we're meant to. But it doesn't have to be that way. When you build your personal power, you can turn those results around and you can be self-approved. You can actually love yourself and for the right reasons. And see, this is the thing. You know, people think sometimes, well, if I love myself, means I've got an overinflated ego. No. If you love yourself, it means that you are looking after the person that's there to love the others. You know, there's a quote in the Bible that says, or one of the commandments that says, to love your neighbor as yourself. I know when I was going through that lack of self-worth, my neighbor's probably going, please do not love me like you love yourself. I would like a little bit more than that, please. So the key to loving others is to first love ourselves. And be confident in your own ability. Yeah, are we going to make mistakes? Yes, mistakes are fantastic. It's how we label them and allow them to affect us. But having confidence in your own ability and being able to remember times when you were young, before the emotional memory was really built up, where you felt really proud about yourself. And, you know, like look at this young man here. He's got himself a trophy, you know, it's probably worth $2 and it's plastic, but it says, I can feel good about myself because I did something that I'm proud of. And we need to have more and more of those moments, and we can. We're going to do an exercise on that soon. And exercising self-care. Rather than just caring about everyone else and performing for them, we're going to exercise self-care. Now, I travel in planes quite a lot, and I'm one of these good boys that when they say, you know, even though you travel regularly, please watch the demonstration. I mean, they're there doing it, seriously. And I actually love the part when they do this, and the ladies and some of the guys, they stretch the thing. Imagine if someone actually did, if there was oxygen masks fall down, the amount of people who would try and breathe through it by holding it out like this because they don't want it to touch their hair. But anyway, but exercising self-care, where, what do they say? They say, in the unlikely event of an emergency, oxygen masks will drop from here. First thing you do is pull out and then put it over your mouth and start breathing normally. And oxygen will still flow even if the bag is not inflated. I travel a lot. And then they say, and this is the key, fit your mask before helping others. Now, they used to say women and children, but that's not politically correct, so you can't say that anymore. But fit your mask before helping others. And that's what self-care is. You know, who's a mum in the room? Yeah, this is for you. Doesn't mean dads don't, but seriously. Like, you're not supposed to have the last chop if there's one left and give it to everybody else. We need you to be strong so that you can do the amazing job that you do as a parent. So exercising self-care. And instead of being overwhelmed and powerless, we can be calm and in control. Do you ever feel out of control? Is that something you'd strive to achieve, being calm and in control? Well, that's the results that you can expect. And the answer for you getting that, going from that powerless to in control, is to develop personal power. So what I've just done is made sure that there's a reason to do this. Some of you are people that will move away from pain. Some of you are people that will move towards pleasure. Whatever it is, and it's a combination of both, I've just given you there. So if you're sick and tired of being on this performance trap, it's time to escape. It's time for you to cut yourself some slack, learn from your experiences, and enjoy being whoever you need to be in every area of your life. All right, so personal power is having a strong sense of your self-worth and capabilities and self-confidence. And it's also, as I said before, it's about having the internal certainty that says, you know what, it's going to be okay. I have everything within me and around me to be who I need to be and to get what I need out of life. Personal power. Let's have a look at 5 key principles. I'm really looking forward to getting into actually starting to build it. So the first one is that we need to be authentic. You know, I have done some great work with a mentor of mine called Matt Church. And Matt Church says, as a speaker and as an author, as a thought leader, we need to have a big word. And my big word that he came up with me is authenticity. And if you go on to grantherbert.com and you have a look at the little video about a third of the way down the page, you know, yes, the images are really, really photoshopped, thank you. But my video, I don't have any makeup on, I don't have any, like, it's just me. And I was a little bit annoyed with that when I first saw it. I thought, they haven't done it. Then I thought, hang on a minute, your message is authenticity. It's about being real. So just be okay with that. But being authentic is about being the real you. It's about being the one that you... That's an easy gig, by the way. You can only be you. Everybody else is taken. It's about being authentic. It's about sticking to your values, sticking to what you believe in. You know, I've stood up here a couple of things. I've told you about beliefs that I have. They're my beliefs, and I'm proud of them. Does it mean that I'm, you know, against your beliefs? No. But for me to be authentic, I need to let you know who the real me is. So by my bio and what I've said, and by the way, it's not a marketing bio, it's really what I believe. What would you say, what would be some words that describe me, or what would you say about me by what you either know about me or what you've learnt already? I'm passionate, thank you. What else? Thank you, transparent. Thank you, open. What's important to me? Yeah. Excellent. So they're just some of the things that you've picked up. And none of that is wrong. None of that is me putting on a show. And the reason is, I do that really easy because that's who I truly am. And I attract clients that have those things as values. A number of years ago, I was asked to run for Family First in the federal election, not the one just gone, the one before that. And I said yes, knowing that I wouldn't actually, you know, get in. But people said to me, "Oh, are you sure you want to do that? Because people will align you with that, and they may not do business with you." And I said, "If people don't do business with me because of my alignment with family values and family being important, I'm okay with that." And that's me being authentic. So that's the first key. The second one is to retrain your mini-me. I love this. So there's two of us that are here today. There's little us and there's big us. There's little us that's at effect and there's big us that's at cause. There's little us that wants to keep us safe and operate on those fears that we have and remind us of what we need to do to keep us safe. And that mini-me starts kicking in at about, as I said before, 7 plus or minus 2. All right? And when our ego is formed. Because before that, if we needed to be kept safe, there was a mum or a dad or someone else there. If we went to put our hand on the stove, they went, "No, don't do that." But around 7 plus or minus 2, we start to form who we believe we're going to be, and we form our beliefs based on the experiences that have happened up until that point, our cultural beliefs, etc., etc. And the more of those inner uncertainties that we have, we tell our little self what we want it to know and what we want it to do. So remember before we talked about speaking in public. So I like to use this one because most people can relate to it. So who here has a fear of speaking in public? Yeah, some people even have a fear of putting their hand up in public. Great. Okay, so I'm not going to ask you to come up and speak or anything like that, so you can relax again now. But if I was to say, okay, well, what we're going to do now is those people, I need you to get up and have a speak on 5 minutes about the academy. And there's going to be some internal stuff going on for you at that point, which is not comfortable. And that is your mini-me. So let's say, for example, that was me. All right, now, I have been speaking in public for over 30 years, so I'm okay with it. But I remember the first few times I did it, because of that low self-esteem, I had a problem with it as well. And I'd taught my mini-me that if I was ever stupid enough to accept the opportunity to go and speak in front of people, to slap me upside of the head and tell me to wake up to myself. So let's say I'm back then. And I go, you know what? I've had enough of this. I'm stepping up today. I'm going to speak in public. And I start walking towards the stage. At this point, my mini-me is screaming at me, going, "What are you doing? We don't speak in public. We don't have anything good to say. What if we get it wrong? What if what we say isn't right and they don't like us? What if they laugh? What if they throw tomatoes?" Whatever we can, and whatever those three fears are threatened or could come into being, it's reminding me of every one of those. People laugh at you, you won't belong. They won't love you, and you won't be good enough. So get back down here where you're supposed to be. Yeah, what was I thinking? And we do that. Now let me introduce you to our maxi-me. And that's who needs to come in and be controlled today. And that's the one that goes, no, no, you can do it. You've got plenty to say. You know what you're talking about. You're passionate about it. So let's get up there and let's do it. And let's take what's uncomfortable and let's do it so that it then becomes familiar and it then becomes comfortable. And that's two different voices going on there. Who here has a two-year-old child, knows someone with a two-year-old child, or was two once? Can I see your hand? You had to think about that, didn't you? It was late in the afternoon. So let's use a two-year-old child to explain this. So let's say I have a two-year-old child and they just come through that door right now. And up until now, my two-year-old child, because we love our children, they have ways of getting our attention. And they'll do what they've learned gets our attention. So let's just say it's Isaac, and he's two, and he comes through the door and he goes, Daddy. Now that's a trigger for me to normally go, yes, son. And he gets what he wants. But let's say today I go, no, I'm working with these guys today. So I just go, I put my hand up. What's Isaac going to do? What's that two-year-old going to do if I do that? Say Daddy again. Yeah, what else? Come closer. Yep. What else? What's going to happen to the intensity? It's going to go louder and louder until the point where I'm walking around doing what I'm doing with you, but I've got a two-year-old hanging off my leg who's going, Daddy, Daddy, and getting my attention. Because up until that point, I've taught him that all he needs to do is say my name or do this so that he gets my attention and I give him what he wants. And that's exactly what each of us have done with our mini-me. So the first thing we need to do when we're retraining our mini-me is acknowledge their existence. We created them. So in those times when we're feeling that less than and that small voice is there, we need to go, it's okay. I've got your back. I know I told you that. But what we're going to do now is different. So just like I taught you to do that, now I want you to watch what we're going to do from now on, and that's going to be our new belief. And that's what I want you to remind me of from now on. Cool? Let's do it. Now, please, don't do that in public. Seriously, people like think there's something sincerely wrong with you if you do that. But if you do need to speak it out, then do that as well. So it's about retraining your mini-me. And then we walk up on stage, and I'm feeling good now because maxi-me's in control. And I get up on stage, and I do it for the first time. And I'm pretty good at it, and my head doesn't implode. And I get off, and there's not one bullet hole in me, and I'm feeling good. So I get off stage, and I've done it. And I do it over and over and over. And 6 months down the track, because of some other belief or some other thing that's not going right in my life right then, I allow that little voice to come in again. And I go, I've now got a voice that says, no. Remember when we spoke in Perth last week? They loved it. They stood on every word that you said and you gave them that gift of all that stuff that you gave them, whatever. And I got a different voice. I got an empowering voice now that's telling me the reasons why I need to get up on stage. So the second key here is we need to retrain our mini-me. And the good thing, as I said, is that we've trained them already. Acknowledge that. Now we just need to start retraining them. The third one is to set and keep boundaries. And I've got an exercise we're going to either get to or show you how to use it beyond here. To set those boundaries. You've got to learn when to say no. Who said yes to something this week, just in the last 7 days, that they wish they hadn't have? Can I see your hand? Yeah. Let's stretch that out to 30 days. Over the last 30 days, who said yes to something? And the minute they said it, they thought, oh crap, why did I say yes to that? We've got to recognize why we say yes. Is it because we're performing? You know, I have a lot of clients that tell me, oh, you know, clients ring me on Sundays or they ring me on Saturdays, this, that, and the other. I go, well, that's what you've educated them to do. You've told them that it's okay to do that. It's not their fault. It's yours. I'm a tough love sort of a coach. They love it. But I'd rather tell them the truth than, you know, give them fluffy. But that's okay. We've told them that it's okay to treat us that way. So setting boundaries when we're exercising self-care and we care about us and we're building our own identity says, I set boundaries that are to my priority. And we're going to do an exercise that says, when I say yes to this, what am I saying no to? But also, when I say no to this, so I asked you the question before, that lack of personal power, what's it holding you back from? So when I say no to doing things, what am I saying yes to? I'm saying yes to that lack of self-worth. And I'm every time I'm doing it, I'm putting more of a foundation on it. But we've got to be able to set and keep boundaries and then press them. And then we've got to learn to move on quickly. When something doesn't go right, we have to learn what we can from it and move on quickly. Having a pity party like I've done, like I did for that 10 years, wasn't good for me or anyone around us. And we need to speak our truth, and you need to speak your truth assertively. Now, I'm not saying assertive in the way of conflict. You need to be, you know, be able to go, no, this is my truth. This is who I am. This is what I believe, and I need to be able to speak that. All right. Let's roll up our sleeves. Time to do some work. We're going to do some exercises right now. But before we do that, what I want you to do is have a chat to the person next to you. You can have some nice wake us up music and have a chat to the person next to you. What is the biggest thing that's come out of this session that we've done now so far for you? What's something that you've taken out of it that you're going to go and implement moving on from here? So if you turn to the first one just after my picture, is an exercise 3-1 called Achievement and Success Log. And what we're going to do is we're going to do an exercise where you identify with some periods in your life when you've actually had some achievements that you're proud of. So all we're going to do to start with is, so it says, for example, as a young child. So what I want you to do is just for as a young child in kindergarten, primary school, any of those that you can think, just go through that and write down something that you did that you were proud of. All right, so if we can have some music, Steve, that'd be fantastic. And this is an individual exercise at this point. Okay, so I saw some high achievers that were actually going to the next column and everything as well. That's fine. That's great. We'll get to that in a moment. But what we're going to do firstly is just go around the room and talk to some people and give us a little bit of content about the achievement. So context would be better. So for example, one of mine is in primary school, I broke the record for the 800 metres track. And I can remember that vividly. I can visualise me like in the first part of the race when you're legally allowed to cross over from the lane. So I'm in the outside lane. Then I came across and I led the race from that point to the end. And I can remember that. And I can remember standing up and getting the blue ribbon for that. All right. So these are the things I'm talking about. If you did that, you're talking about a success, and then all of a sudden, you started taking it off yourself. Did you notice that, everybody? Every single person that gave me a success, that's the old pattern. That's how you normally run. That's the normal pathway of where you are in your level of personal power. Because you're starting to talk about success and you and putting those two things together, and your mini-me is going, hang on, what are you doing? If we do that, if we appear confident and this, that, and the other, we're going to have to step outside that comfort zone. So you need to stop doing that right now. And that's why I had to be your big you then to bring that back. All right, so that's the first thing, is recognizing the success. So the reason we need to do that is we need to give ourselves frames of reference for the times when we did actually succeed. Because by the way, most of us carry a prepared list of all the times that we failed. We can bring those out without any problem whatsoever. But here's the key. What we need to do next is on the next column. So with that one that you chose there, how did you feel? How did you feel in that moment when you achieved that success? So if we can just put the music back on and we will capture that. This is where the second layer that we need to do. So just pick one of those and how did that make you feel? Now, the reason why we need to do this process is that we need to have a frame of reference for success. But to make this work for us, we need to be able to recapture that feeling. Now, did you like that feeling of feeling happy and excited? Did you like to feel proud? Do you like wow? So what we'll do is we will look for two things. We will look when we feel like we've never done anything, or we can look at those and go, you know what? I can achieve things. I can get an A+, for goodness sake. I can get a hole in one in golf. Got it in there again. I can do whatever. I can top industrial arts. And I can be the school captain. So when our mini-me is trying to speak to us about these other things that we can't do, by the way, can't's not a word that I recognize. It's either won't or we're choosing not to, by the way. And we've got a friend, you know, get, no. I can get an A+. I can do this. If I can be the school captain, I can be the mayor of Wollongong. By the way, that wasn't a prophecy that I was speaking over you then. I don't know if you want to be the mayor of Wollongong. But that's what we need to do. So the exercise is to be able to get us to recognize what emotions we felt and be able to refeel those emotions. So what I want you to do as your work outside this is to utilize this and go right through that timeline and look for those successes and how you felt. And then the next level of that is to go, how do I, you know, so what was I believing about myself at that point that allowed me to have that success? Why am I labeling that as a success, etc.? And that will all form a pattern for you to be able to follow for future success. So that's the first exercise. Let's do another one. Let's turn over a couple of pages to 3.2. In fact, no, let's not. That's all self-explanatory, and you can do that in your own time. I want you to go to 3.3. So it should look like this. Have 3.3 written on the top of it, and assertiveness. Tips for saying no gracefully. You are always saying no to something. There's the first lesson. If you've got one of those highlighters there, you might want to highlight that. Because we say a lot of times, oh, I can't say no. I don't say no. I can't say no. So if that's a belief, I can't say no, then that will become a truth. But the fact is, every time you say yes, you're saying no. All right? So that's the first thing. Every time we say yes out of obligation, we are actually saying no to something else. But often, what we are saying no to is more important than those things that we are saying yes to. I talked to the mums before, and this isn't just gender specific, but I know this. I've done a lot of work over the years with men, and I am one. So man, not men. Who sometimes feels more empowered to do what they do at work, men, than what your role is when you get home? Yeah. So what actually we do because of that is we say yes to things, whether it be consciously or subconsciously, that keep us within that comfort zone. But here's the problem. And I know, let's talk about my life. I know that I've said yes to things, not just because of the performance trap, but I've said yes to things that have made me say no to what's most important to me, and that's my quality time with my family. And here's the problem with that. I can justify it as much as I like. No, I've got to do all this travel, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, because I want to give my family the lifestyle that they deserve. But then I've got people at home who are going, I thought, you know, and I'm dramatizing this, but I thought Dad loved me. He says he loves me. He's never here. So there's conflicting things, but they're both meaning the same thing. So what I do now is in the middle of that. I make sure I say yes to everything here first, and then I do this within balance to that. So what I mean is, when I have to say no to my children, they're already in my diary first. I have things called non-negotiables that are in my calendar. And I use, you know, color coding and all sorts of stuff, and so that I can recognize when I'm not, you know, doing enough of the stuff that's important to me. And if I, for example, like tonight, I'm not having dinner at home, and in my diary every day it says dinner family time, and it's 2.5 hours there. And I don't care if you're the Queen of England and you ring me, I'm not answering the phone. That's quality time. Yet, because of, they've got to learn flexibility as well, because of the fact that I'm down here tonight, I've made sure that on Saturday they've got extra time that I could be doing some other things and whatever. But that's what I'm saying yes to. More of. So we've got to understand that by saying no to things that are more important to us is costing us, because it's totally incongruent with who we are. Before saying yes, ask yourself the following question. Will saying yes to this force me to say no to something else that's more important? If your answer is yes to that question, then it's time to evaluate your priority. Now, mini-me's, any of you that are speaking to these awesome people right now and are beating them up and going, oh, yes, you're away from home too much and you're this, that and the other, stop it. That's not what we want to get out of this. We're going to rise above that. We've drawn a line in the sand and we're going to learn from it. So I want you to think right now, what is something that you say no to far too often that's important to you? I don't want you to share it. I just want you to think about it. You might even want to write it down for yourself if you want to remind you. Here are a few questions to get you thinking about what you want to say yes to. What is most important to you in regard to your family? Go ahead, write something down. What's most important to you? For me, I want to make sure that I've got enough energy to be fully present with my wife and with my children when I'm being a husband and being a father, and I'm, you know, giving it enough quality time to impart to them how much I love them physically rather than just telling them that. So it's important for me. What is it for you in regard to your family? Sitting down at the meal table is important to me. In our house, every night except Friday night and Saturday night, we sit at the meal table and we communicate and we talk about our day, something that's important to me. And it's important to everyone in our house now. So what's most important to you in regard to your health? What's most important to you in regard to your closest relationships? Let's talk about our business. 50% of wasted time in business is due to a lack of social and emotional intelligence. And it's normally trust, a lack thereof, of trust. Your finances, your recreation, what's important to you when it comes to how you want to spend your time? So write those things down. Before saying yes to anyone or any project, evaluate whether or not it moves you closer to those things or further away. The last model I want to give you today as we're finishing that you can use with this. This is a simple filter that I use for everything that I do now before I say yes to anything. First one is for what purpose? So for what purpose would I say yes to this? And if it's to feed this, then it doesn't get through the filter. The next one is on the other side. At what cost? So for what purpose and at what cost? Why would I do this? If the motive is clear, I'll let it go through. At what cost? If I was to go to this event and speak for Breakthrough for Business, at what cost? And for me, there wasn't a cost that outweighed the for what purpose. So it's a model that I use all the time with this. So to continue on with this, if we go forward a few pages to... there's some assertiveness techniques and all sorts of stuff in there for you to use. If we go through to this last page here, which is 3.5, saying yes by saying no. I just want to teach you how to use this. And over the next 72 hours, before you forget it, you need to sit down and you need to do this. And how it is it says here, by saying no to, I'm saying yes to. So give yourself the opportunity to recognize what you're saying no to and why you're doing it. Use for what purpose and at what cost. So for me, by saying no to 8 hours sleep, I'm saying yes to getting my adrenal fatigue back. And then down the bottom, by saying yes, I'm saying no to. By saying yes to that red frog that I can see there, in fact, there's two or three, there's four of them. By saying yes to those red frogs, I'm saying no to my health and vitality. By saying yes to someone who needs me because I need them to like me, I'm saying no to my family. But by saying no to people when they want me to do things for them and I should be doing something else, I'm saying yes to the things that are most important to me. So there's some great exercises here on personal power. And I really encourage you to continually use these, to go and invest some time in this. Because as I said, it's the foundation of a lot of the challenges that we all go through. You know, I love how Steve and Megan have put this on today about us. Because without the people, us, we don't have a business. You know, build the people and they build the business. And it's about you being able to have self-confidence and have a high level of self-worth and know that everything's going to be okay. You've got everything within you and around you to be able to do what it is that you need to do. Personal power. So the next step from here is twofold. One, it's to continue doing the exercises that we've started on today. But two is for you to go to that next level of self-awareness. And you may even need to get some support from some other people. When I work with people, I've got a simple online self-assessment that they can do for you to be able to see where you're at with the different competencies, to get that start point. Whatever you need to do, go through in each of those and then have a look at what it is that you need to build. And then practice doing what we've done today, which was until today unfamiliar to you. Check in on how you're feeling emotionally. You know, those times when I said, some days I just can't seem to think. Now that you know the science, the neuroscience behind that, that it means that your emotions are hijacking the energy from your prefrontal cortex, stop and go, hang on a minute, what am I feeling and why? Why am I feeling that? How do I know I'm feeling that? Is the reason I'm feeling that a positive one, or is it feeding one of those negative self-beliefs? Is it feeding one of those fears? Is it feeding my need for approval? And nip that in the bud, draw a line in the sand, have a better belief, and you watch how you'll be able to have that logical thought process going. So the next step from that, when you get this self-awareness, is to get self-management competencies for you. Before we worry about getting into others, we need to worry about, you know, what competencies. Someone talked about behavioral self-control. It's one that we can all work on to be able to get control over that amygdala hijack, that emotional hijack, to be able to respond rather than react. So what I want to do, and I've only got a couple of minutes to go, is just answer any questions about what I've given you there to do, if there's anything that you need there. If there's any other questions, as I said, I want you to connect with me. I'm happy to talk about different situations that are going on for you. But right now, are there any questions that you need the answer to for you to be able to go and do the next step with this? Hey, I've really enjoyed my time that I've been able to invest with you today. One of the great things I love about doing this is you've noticed that we're not all that different. Every one of us in the room here are going through those similar things. And a lot of times, the reason why we don't do anything about it is we feel a bit weird. You know, it's like when I used to teach this class on sexual integrity to men, and I'd get the men in the room together, and we'd be talking about it, and I'd go, you know, I'd start it off, and I'd go, you know, guys, when you've done everything that you think you can do that day, you know, you've done the washing up, you've cleaned up, you've bathed the kids, you've cooked the dinner, your wife's come home and you've got her a glass of wine, and you know, there's a thing of rose petals all the way to the bathroom, and she's got a bath drawer. You've done everything, and then you go to bed that night and you think, well, surely I've done enough. And she goes, oh no, I really feel like it tonight, doll. And you go, oh, and you roll over and go to sleep cranky at that. And I, you know, that's not my experience. That never happens to me. But I did it. And every man in the room at that point does this. Oh, it's not just me. I'm not weird. Everyone's like that. And a lack of emotional intelligence and not having an understanding of all this sort of stuff is across the board. So thank you for the effort and energy that you've put into it. I really enjoyed the time I've spent with you. Let me hand it back over to Steve.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Grant. Great job, bud. Cheers, man.